10 minutes or even less than because of the gadget. And we open the SMEs, the young SMEs develop the solution, and she managed to employ a few people. Now, importantly, we managed to secure more funding, donor funding, for this solution to be rolled out to vulnerable families and other situations like nobody school and childhood households. And this was reported by the Premier of Housing in the state of the province of Red. And we are working with FED to take this solution to other parts of the country, we continue to work on the energy efficiency model, which we are developing for hospitals. We are piloting this at the Village Hospital, and we managed to do the initial stages of this project. But where we are piloting, we are now saving at least 100,000 rand a month. Initial implementation, and we are now addressing other issues such as behavioral dynamics, because not sometimes in many instances, in all instances, in the morning everybody walks to the door and goes to all the theaters and switch all the machines on even though they're not going to be. So there are behavioral issues as well, and then we are going to mention after the necessary. We took the e-learning project to the Eastern Cape, where we managed to get equal computer labs, the real one million, and donor funding. And then in this year, we are hoping to go and complete and provide them with effective boards for the center that to be able to complete their collectivity within the project. We also have what we call a reputation program. When we run our award program, we get to identify good innovative solutions and replicate across the country. We found the second lasting in life solution, which we talked about, where it enables people to come up with an innovation, where they save the same blood and blood products. So that from within up to the end of the financial year and the report, they received 13.35 million rand. And in August, we heard that they are now up to 17 million. And we have replicated the solution as better for workers in housing, where as we started with the implementation, they were reported in savings up to 40,000 rand now. We are told that it's more now. We are now working with a number of hospitals. We have just been called by Hannibal Gwana Hospital, where they are spending between 8 and 9 million rand a month, not a year, a month on blood and blood products. And we are now, we have a team in there now working with them to implement the solution. And we've worked with the two other hospitals and we right now. So that is a better one. We're taking the project to involve Mpumalanga to various provinces and to try and get them to address the solution. And they are now able to send blood to emergency situations and to share with hospitals. Here's again, we've already shared blood with Mpumalanga. And we are now working with Mpumalanga to get their own program up and running. We managed to finalize the diagnosis. Project, which we also identified through the award program. The program was experienced by hospitals in Limpopo, where the hospitals were running out of beds in admitting children from neighboring schools who were coming because of malnutrition. They were being sent to the hospitals and clinics with various defects, like what's it called? Fashioko and various other related diseases and development of which we compromise. Now they decided to go out to the schools and the pressures in the area and administer various medications and inoculations and so on to end the situation, to avoid this disease. And then they are very enjoying the benefits of that. They are no longer under pressure to admit all those children, and the children are growing normally. That is the observation that we got. Now we managed to get the Department of Health to collaborate and cooperate with us. And in fact, they donated a number of equipment that was sitting at the National Department that we were able to distribute to all the districts. We actually managed to replicate the project in all the districts and reports. In terms of entrenching and inculcating the heart of innovation in the public sector, we have the business public sector innovation. I want to wear the minister, I want to train innovative solutions. In fact, the service platform in Leipzig has been one of those projects that the finalists as well as the guide which is one. One of those projects was entered for an award program focusing on the whole of Africa, and we came home with silver. We hope that the United Nations administration network workshop for the funded countries, because that is our responsibility in South Africa, to support the portal of the network and coordinate content from private countries. We managed to host 10 countries with the support of the UNDP, and of course that is in support of outcome 11, and as well as the implementation of SDGs and so on. So we had that success. We have held a number of sector specific innovation workshops within the year. We would have started with all the CEOs of hospitals in Gauteng within that year. We brought them all together, which is why the reputation is sort of gaining ground. We got all the CEOs of hospitals under one in the workshop with them and exposed them to all the innovations within the health sector and taking off. We've been to other provinces as well. And we obviously use our marketing and education in Victoria. We actually hosted the Consultation Forum for Development in Africa, which is really to get the public servants and the public service to plan ahead and anticipate the challenges that the public service will be or the public service will be facing in the future. And again, we held the ninth public sector innovation conference where Minister Pando and Gaba.
Sorry, Khadi, you are left with -5 minutes.
-5 minutes. Let me not go through all of those other achievements. Let me go straight to the expenditure outcome, although it's less than 10%. But out of our budget, as known now, of 29 million a year, we managed to spend 96.7. The amount of 948,000 that was spent was simply due to the fact that we had delayed the public works to approve our application for mostly in the building. So we were left with only 948,000. That has been resolved. We are busy with the chemical installation right now. So we spent everything we had. That is the detail in those in the issue of time. This just explains one of why we didn't finish and so on. But I just want to say that we do have budgetary challenges. We are a small organization. The demand from the public service, from the rest of the country, is overwhelming for us to go and intervene. As I said, there's a team sitting at Chris Hani Baragwanath Hospital. There's a team, there are teams in other hospitals, but we are so small. We're talking only 6 SMS members, including the executive director and the CFO. We are struggling. We would appreciate any effort.
Thank you so much. Yes, I'm sure CFO next time we would like to hear your voice. It doesn't mean that when you perform well financially and otherwise, then you mustn't hear your voice, because you must have a confidence that you are managing this fund as a... It is a small fund, but it is a big fund. With that, thanks so much, and well done with your performance so far. And also note that there's only 9 provinces, not only Gauteng. maybe moving forward we'll hear a better one from, you know, there's a province that is called KwaZulu Natal and Western Cape. As long as you are much alive to that. Honorable Mare.
Then, DM, will be your collaboration strategy with the service. Like, then you can quote to treasure. But by managing those skills, you know, I'll then get them.
Honorable Doc. Okay.
Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Mwabe, although you have joined us, thanks for coming. You are mostly welcome, Honorable Mwabe. Probably would like to say something with the CPSI, or you are fine so far. You follow the flow. Okay. But CPSI, if you, for the questions also, if the member leaves before you respond to that question, please also just forward it to all of us in writing. Yeah, but it's an easy one, I know. Okay. Over to Honorable Velma.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for the presentation. Congratulations on your presentation. I don't really have a question because I am aware that you have been in contact, but one thing I would like to say, and that if you recorded, Chair, I have a big concern. And for previous years it has been happening, so that's why I've been talking to the Innovation Hub. Two schools for disabled children closed down. In previous years, the school for the blind, and recently, I think about two or three years ago, a school for the deaf. Three girls died in that fire. Because, one deaf man could save a lot of girls, but not three of them. He couldn't save the last three. So more would have died. So I spoke to the Innovation Hub, and I want to tell the committee the alarms with the lights for people who are deaf, fire alarms, especially in institutions where they are staying. I thought that we should contact people from overseas, and it's obviously going to cost a lot of money. And where other schools for the deaf in South Africa have these flashing lights, you know, with fire alarms. So I spoke to them and told them to find out that we copy from them. We don't have to go overseas because we have the resources here. And then in terms of children, so that's with disabled children. And then secondly, we see more and more national disasters that we see. Recently, Haiti again had a national disaster, a natural disaster. So there are ways to preempt the disaster. So, or well, pre the disaster and post it, to contact people with disabilities. And it's always people with disabilities who's last in line to be rescued and last to be found during disaster. So I'm hoping, I still need to respond to that email that was sent to me, but I hope we can engage on that more to create more innovations. We have people in South Africa, the youth in South Africa, that we can get to think of these innovations, the different devices and ways to prevent disasters like that from happening in South Africa. No questions. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Velma. sorry. Over to you, Mahadebe. Then DM, if you just indicate if you would like to say something, please.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. On the issue of fuel, we found, we conducted a study, we did an investigation, and we found that usually, in most, if not all cases, the problem starts at the back. Back office issues, and we went to numerous, a few hospitals at least, in other provinces and in households to assist them to deal with those issues. But then we find that the queues persist, and we did another study and we found that there's the issue of referrals, which is causing major challenges right now in terms of queues. Referrals between clinics and hospitals. And we are now working, we have shortlisted, that's how we work, we award SMEs again, and I think we've identified one. SMEs is now developing a working on a system for several between hospitals and clinics because hospitals are overwhelmed by the setup from those. It's not well structured and organized. So we are already working on a solution to address that problem. I just want to point out, especially on the issue of the project that we ran with, that when we pilot, you start with a small number. You do the initial pilot. You learn a lot from the pilot, the failures, the successes. That's why we don't do new government money. We try not to. And then you succeed, and then you implement on a larger scale. And when that happens, it throws up more dynamics that you then address. So most of our projects become multi-year projects. So it starts in 1 year, it may go over 3 years. There's one that we never got time to report on, because actually a very big project. The one on the, which was addressing the inland water integrity challenges, where we developed a model for inland dams in South Africa, because we find boaters, it's a system that we find boaters dragging invasive plants into the water and compromising the quality of the water when people are drinking, and there are other problems. Now, we actually had wash base from Southgate with numerous other small innovations. We never actually got time, you know, to report fully on this one, but it also happened over a single process. Oh, yes, the referral system right is obviously new, but we started it and working on it. The better drawer, which is not just the saving glass one, but they've also asked us to help them establish an innovation hub within the hospital to deal with numerous other challenges. We are doing that with the hope of taking them around the country to other hospitals. The cataract project, we found that there are queues and queues of patients who are waiting to have cataract operations and so on. We are working on that.
Okay, by the way, there's an interim acting chair, then you speak through the chair, not through your good self.
Sorry, Chair. Yes. I think, yeah, there are a few such projects which are new that we are keeping in the year, but we just... Yes. But we didn't have a lot of money.
No, I think you are done, Mahathir. Next time, you know, all these other things that you said you don't have time to report on, start with those ones, because I think in your head they are not so important, whereas they are making a difference in the society in terms of service delivery. It will assist. Okay, but otherwise, well done, my team. Before that,
and then we talk with the political leaders and say, do something about this. This is the way to win our people. But you can't take it as a life thing. It's serious. That's where we lose our own point. I know that if Paris won, I will get the point. But here we lose about 300 points.
Okay, CM.
Thank you, Chairperson. On the issues that Honorable Rana raised, that really is the responsibility of the Department of Public Works.
Mm-hmm.
In the same way that the issue that has been raised by Honorable Dubagan is also a Department of Health issue.
Mm-hmm.
And I know when I was still a civil servant working in housing that the queue management system was something that the provincial government was thinking. So that was in the early 2000s. And I'm not sure where it failed or what happened to that. Because it's something that provincial government has been faced with from a very long time ago. I think the role here of CPSI, because of the budget that they have, but also because South Africa really does not invest in research and development.
Mm-hmm.
We find a situation where the CPSI largely relies on what is brought to them as a catalyst rather than an initiator or an influencer. So I think that's where the difficulty really lies. Once we become a government and also a country that invests in R&D, all of some of these problems really would be greatly resolved because we would see ourselves pumping money into areas that need improvement, and the public sector and the private sector working together on R&D would really be of great assistance. But what I want to suggest is that this portfolio committee also calls the Department of Health on these matters and also calls the Department of Public Works on the matters that Honorable Verma has raised. I think you guys, or you Honorable much wider responsibility to the public, to the administration in general, rather than the portfolio that you see here. Because we're just reporting on things that we are trying to do to help the situation. And if we cannot help because of budgetary constraints and the fact that we grow, the amount of investment in research and development is such that we cannot move as quickly as we can, then please, by all means, call the departments that are responsible for this, because it becomes really a very difficult for us to do. But if these departments also can work with us. For instance, I was just looking at the amount of savings that have been realized by the Edendale Hospital. How much of that are we throwing back to finance more research by CPSI? And I think at some point we need to be able to say, if we help you to save a certain percentage of that income to fund the work of the CPSI.
No, we just need to thank the DM. And I think also I will urge members, when we are dealing with the recommendations, also it's not fun, it's refreshing there, so that we can have that walking the talk in terms of our PC interrelations, as it may, in terms of service delivery. With that, thank you so much, CPI. Then that will bring us to the table now.
Great, thank you.
And AG, you are mostly welcome. Our approach, AG, because we're almost done, then we'll take you as the last presentation, but also you'll focus on tomorrow instead of today, which will be DPME, not DPSA, because we've already dealt with DPSA. So you are mostly welcome. Thanks so much. You're most welcome, and I know we have been here. Just to so that we are clear, straight to the point, I'll just refresh your memory that we will deal with the 2015-16 report in this May. Highlights, if there are any highlights that you can like to show off that we have done well in those areas. Challenges, if they are. The financial spending pattern of 15-16 that we need to pay attention to so that we can assist you to improve on that. If there are any disagreements with Treasury in terms of reporting, if they are, and how do we intend to mitigate that one so that we can speak in one voice in terms of their reporting criteria that are expecting from us as a committee. And I'm sure within I'm doing cost cutting in terms of time. That would be 10 minutes. Thank you.
Honorable Chairperson, honorable members,
good. I thought the innovator will assist you to be audible.
Thank you. I appreciate this opportunity because we can really give an account of what the kind of money from the voted for us last year. But if I voted, we're looking forward to have a feedback, a constructive feedback, so that we can make use of it to improve our work and in so doing we can improve the quality of our constitutional team. Without much ado, I will then request our DG, who is an accounting officer, to comply with the request.
is the lady next to you also? Who is she?
The lady next to me is our CFO, that is
Okay, thanks so much. DPSA, DG, you note that all CFOs are women, in terms of controlling money, expenditure, and compliance. So there are lesser unqualified, which I can say, and all that. So you must follow the, don't listen to this one, but you must look at that pattern, whether it's not the right pattern.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members of the Portfolio Committee and the Deputy Minister. Our presentation is outlined in the following way. I think what the slide also shows is that we've got 14 commissioners in the Public Service Commission. And then this is the outline of the presentation. I think what we also want to inform the members of the Portfolio Committee is that the Public Service Commission has a budget of 239 million. Like a national department, which is supported by the Department of the Public Service Commission, which has got 268 employees. During the period under review, we also had commissioners who were appointed, and there are commissioners Mashamba from the FOPU, commissioners Sitole from KwaZulu-Natal, and the reappointment of commissioners Moria Martins from Northern Cape, and Commissioner Mutengo at national level. It's endeavor to improve efficiency with effect from the 1st of April 2015, the Public Service Commission implemented the rule of delegations to the provincial based commissioners and assignment of duties to commissioners and employees of the Office of the Public Service Commission were also approved with the hope of improving the effectiveness of the Public Service Commission in realizing its mandate. Since the inception of this new governance rules, the PSC has witnessed a significant improvement in the manner in which the work of the PSC through its work streams have been carried out. The decentralization of the majority of the work of the PSC to provincial-based commissioners and national-based commissioners to specific cluster departments has also contributed to increased efficiency. And in an effort to increase the visibility during the period under review, the PSC conducted a service delivery inspection selected schools on the availability of emergency support material, as well as selected hospitals where we're looking at the availability of medicines, and also at border posts where the PSC was looking at the whole issue of the immigration border gates. The PSC and the University of South Africa signed a memorandum of understanding which provides the framework for collaboration on selected areas of research, monitoring and evaluation and development of public administration.
Sorry, did you, honorable members want to read something, but they want to use me. Okay, so what they were just asking among themselves, DG, I'm sorry to interrupt you. Areas of focus that I understood the slide three, that we're introducing new commissioners from various provinces, as it may, if I'm right, I think I'm right on that one. But just focus on the highlights of the year that was, which is 2015-16. And the challenges on your sort of your not achieved ones. So at least that slide summarizes everything. If you can focus on that, and your financial spending patterns as it may. And the last one, if there are any areas of disagreement with the ODAGs in terms of their requirement of reporting, but also what are you doing to that, because we need also to respect AG in terms of their standards of reporting. If there's any, if there's nothing, also don't talk to that. The other one, because we're dealing with BRRR, which is the most important one as well, is the issue of, we know we don't have money, but it's the right thing to raise it if you still need more money, but having convinced us that you are meeting your predetermined objectives, as it may, in terms of the year that was. Thank you.
Thank you very much. In fact, I was just almost about to do that.
I told you. Okay.
We are talking about I think this, we're talking about our overall performance. During the period of analysis, the PSC achieved 88.7% of the output in during 2015 as compared to 88% in the 14th financial year. Although the performance has improved slightly, it is encouraging to say 16.1% of the output were achieved earlier than planned. And I think what we're also saying is that 6.4% of our achievements during this period that I've been were the ones that were achieved partially. In other words, we did not achieve them by the end of the financial year. But 4.9% were not achieved. Those are the ones that we did not achieve during the period of under review. Perhaps now that Honorable Chair, you have raised, I can just pick one or two highlights in terms of the slide, and then we'll come to the challenge. I think we want to also say that the PSC developed a framework for the promotion of that bullet number 3, which I think is the key highlight that we want to bring to the attention of the portfolio committee on this slide. That the PSC developed a framework for the promotion of constitutional values and principles governing the public administration. This framework will in future provide parliament and provincial legislatures with trends on the performance of the public service against these constitutional values and principles, which I think very important. I think we also want to bring to the attention of the portfolio committee that during the period under review, with regard to financial disclosure framework, the Public Service Commission scrutinized 100% of all financial disclosure forms submitted.
Okay.
Which I think is very, very important to establish a trend in this area. I think on this particular slide, we just want to indicate that note number 3. That the Public Service Commission maintained its unqualified audit report. Okay, Honorable Chair, the point that I think you were referring to the AG. The AG is there, I think, to be in a test. This particular slide, which is slide number 8, Honorable Members, we would like to bring to the attention of the portfolio committee that I think Public Service Commission had particular challenges during this particular financial year. And those are the challenges that led us not to achieve with that 100%, as we were saying, over 4.9, right, that we not achieved. And I think key to these challenges were around the research capacity that we did not have. And we have the view that we, with the relationship that now we have entered into through MOU with the NATO, that capacity will be built so that internally we strengthen our research capacity in order to be able to execute the mandate of the Public Service Commission in this area. I think one point that I think we should also raise, Honorable Members, is that Commission has structured itself in such a way that whenever we run into challenges with departments with regards to providing us with necessary information, the cluster commissioners at the national level who have been assigned to certain departments, we run into them so that they can engage within their respective PAs. And I think this model has proved that we can have a general hand in terms of the documents that we need. These are some of the challenges. But perhaps just to now go to the key problem, particularly problem one, which is the one that resides in the financial resources of the commission. We just want to bring to the attention of the portfolio committee that during the period under review, we spent 99.81% of our budget. And that one, again, is in relation to 88.7% of our predetermined objectives. So then you can see the relationship. Of what we have achieved. And this slide also helps us to help members of the portfolio committee, honorable members, to also see how the budget has been allocated internally and how, according to the branches of the commission, which are formed, and how it was indeed spent. Perhaps what we can also say that during the period under review, 73% of the public service commission budget went to compensation of employees. And I think that tells us in terms of the structure of the organization. And the only 26% is goes to goods and services. So we, in terms of goods and services, we have put, we call that in, we are under challenge, we're challenging here in terms of the fight. I think this slide, we have spoken about it, Honorable Members. We just have to say that the National Center has just indicated to us that they are going to take part with us from us, and mainly because we found that we were saving, so we are going to take it from our compensation of the employees. And I think that's the point that we need to bring to the Portfolio Committee, Honorable Chair, to say, with this reduction, this is going to affect the Commission in any way, because the Commission, for example, has decided to insource is a management of national and corruption hotline, and this financial report was meant to build that internal infrastructure that was going to help the Commission to manage the hotline internally. So with this reduction, well, that is a very serious challenge in the implementation of the Commission decision. I think that most of the allies were in the overall slide that I gave. But what we have now in terms of the branches is exactly the flow of some of the things that we have already raised, which I'm not going to talk about in this regard, unless we can hide it otherwise. Perhaps in light of this, then, I can quickly talk to this line. I think across the board, the Portfolio Committee wanted to know from the respective portfolios as to in terms of our HR, particularly with the people with disabilities, we just want to say that end of the financial year, the TSC was at 1.87% with regard to our statistics in this regard. And I think I might also add, because I know Honorable Member raised to the National School of Government, to say, with Public Service Commission, two officials of disability are at level 5, two are at level 12. With the deputy director, and one is the chief director. I'm on program 2, which is leadership and management practices. We have raised that during the period under review, we have managed to close 605 grievances, which is 89%, which were lodged through the public. And of course, we have a research project, and in this regard, some of the projects had to do with the efficiency and functioning of the office of the chief legal advisor. It's important to be certified. With regard to branch MNP, I think the Honorable Member, I just want to highlight that for this slide shows the portfolio committee that the TSC interacted with during the period under review, which again is important because the public commission generate public evidence that can be used by the portfolio committee during their process of conducting oversight. So these are the portfolio committees that we interacted with. You can see Honorable Members of the Africa for strategic planning session, and then we've got help on the PSC report on the contribution of medicine, and again, SCOPA, and we also have the standing committee on appropriations on the medium term budget policy. But I think I would just want to highlight that during this work of interaction with various portfolio committees, PSC really is providing better information to the parliament. I think we have already raised at the beginning in terms of the inspections that we've conducted. But perhaps just to tighten this space here to say, with regard to citizen forum duties, which is a very important tool in promoting participation in the public service. In Mpumalanga, municipality and Temba municipality, where through the Public Service Commission, clinic and schools were built. And in this regard, we generated or provided. And I think it's very important that PSC contributed in this area during the previous analysis. Finally, with the branch, which is integrity and anti corruption, perhaps what we just want to bring to the attention of the personnel committee that we have seen a significant improvement with regard to the finalization of the cases that have been lodged with the Public Service Commission. Mainly through the department that they have improved their investigation capacity, so the cases that are referred to the department, they are indeed given feedback to the PSC for the Public Service Commission to be able to close those cases, because PSC can be the only one that can close them. So we've seen a significant improvement in this regard. We want to report that during the period that I was important. which is important. Perhaps just to say the following, honorable members, the Public Service Commission has also interacted with officials in the department. Those were the officials who were identified to have had what was called a potential conflict of interest when he was scrutinizing their financial social form. The commission took it upon itself to visit the department and to interact with such officials. And this yielded positive results because we are not still doing the kind of thing. And of course, these are some of the allied achievements already that are in the current quarter, which we are going to, which we don't want to dwell on, because we'll be coming to the portfolio committee and to report our outcomes. I think in conclusion, we just want to indicate that the Public Service Commission, through this financial pressure, it has begun to relook at its structure so that we can effectively utilize the resources that are available, because we do understand that going forward, we must have challenges. If we do receive, then we will also be able to say we can appoint the contract level so that we can see that in the commission. Thank you very much.
We wanna hear the real DG now. Thanks so much. Okay, with compliments from Madlamin. Okay, thanks, Honorable Ndawu. We'll see you tomorrow. CFO, do you want to say something? Okay, thank you so much. Honorable members, I'm sure Velma will start, and she's more happy than ever now with this PSC one. I'll start with Honorable Velma, then I'll close from this side of the table. Honorable Velma? She's not even on, but I'm not even.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you for your presentation and the response in advance. Just want to ask, what assistance does the PSC give the PSA to assist them to make sure that other departments implement or meet the needs of people with disabilities? That's my only question. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Honorable Mwada?
This
side.
Thanks for the presentation. Just a few questions, Chairperson. Under challenges of the PSC, DG, your report speaks about the challenge on your head office that we moved to another accommodation. And then you say it has a negative impact on the morale of the staff. The accommodation, the office that we're conducting. I want to know more about it. And also, the other challenge is the submission of information by the State Department, that some information comes late, and some commissioners were given the mandate to look at that. I want to just an update on that, because it cannot be found to be not performing. While the reason is because of the other department. So I want to know the developments on what the commissioners find. And then lastly, on program one, we said due to financial constraints, we decided to delay the filling of certain posts or abolish some of the posts. So I just want to know how important are those posts in you carrying out your mandate. The post that we delayed, or those were published, was a financial constraint.
Thank you, Honorable Murray. Honorable Lem. From my side, no, Mina, I'm fine. Mina, yes, it's Mina. DM, so far so good. TLC, that Mthembe and the delegation.
I will respond to only one question and I will ask regarding non-cooperation at times from certain departments to give us information time, which is impacting negatively, especially if we are dealing with grievance are in a situation where we need cooperation in the head of which department. But now we've realized that at times, you know, our accommodation becomes the lack of a better way, become misunderstood to the remaining. And therefore, we've taken the position that we do have the power to summon the department. And we've taken that decision that now we can no longer compromise the question of resolving grievances within the time frame, because it does have a negative impact on the way, especially that the key principle of grievance resolution is a civil resolution, so that there is labor peace. And therefore, we've taken a clear decision that now we are going to some departments that are not cooperating. Now, what we do, we just ask the head of department, the DG, to just give them a notice that say, in terms of protocol, 3 notices, but we've seen that now we give them 1. So that now, if you don't cooperate and then have to summon you to do that. Now, we've done that twice. Actually, only sent 1 letter, saying a dear letter colleague. Now, in the event that you don't cooperate with us, we have no alternative but we're going to summon you. And then they were cooperation. So I think that was working, and we hope that now we'll deal with that efficiently. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Member. I think on the issue of the delay of giving a post on that, we were looking at the challenge of the fund, but then we were also creative to say we can't just delay every post. The critical post must be filled because they were key in the execution of the mandate of the commission. So I would say there were not the critical ones, the ones that were still delayed. It was only the ones that passed. We find a way of organizing ourselves and still be able to carry out the mandate of the public health commission. I think on the issue of the department and the chapter 7 issue, the issue of documentation that we need to finalize the work, because sometimes the work that we do as a commission is dependent on the department that is providing us. So I think the decision that the commission has taken is to say some of the issues so that we can try that. I think with regard to the assistance that the PSC should provide to PSC, I think our continual PSC audit practices in the public service, including the issue of attainment of 2% with regard to food. I think it might be an issue that going forward, the Public Service Commission can embark on this again, so that we can say, since the last time that was done, more than 5 years ago, how much help this department is actually, so that we can even have evidence to use the engaging with the public service, or even engaging with the PSA for policy purposes. I think the issue of accommodation, that's what I was here for, because you're citing that to engage with.
We have been moving into that building and the challenge with the building is that we put a lot of officials who are sick. We even went to the point when we did a speech for this analysis where we looking at the city trend. We requested the services from the Department of Labor. They did an inspection, and the outcome of that inspection is that we've got what we call a sick building syndrome. In the sense that they did not proper ventilation. When offices were partitioned, they did not take into account the issue of proper ventilation, so there is an adequate supply of oxygen in the building. And that is a challenge. And again, there's not enough light because there are officials who are sitting in an open area, which is far from the building. So the setup of the building is building, the layout is the building that was meant for an open plan office with multiple teams.
No, thank you so very much. Probably it will, the committee needs to consider whether do we need to have public works, because also the issue of accessibility for people living with disabilities and other departments, even the other department, which is DPMA, has an issue with the services that are being provided by public works, as it may. Having said that, PSC, second term, thank you so very much for your presentation. That will bring us AG to AG. And I think you do have a lady that is accompanying you, if you can come and sit here. And for the department, DPMA family, if you wish to excuse yourself, you may do so, because the suggestion that I would like to make, honorable members, is that we request AG to take us through with DPME, because already we have dealt with DPSA, and also we did receive the report, I think on Friday, sometime last week or so. So as we engage also, we're picking up issues that the AG would have raised, which fortunately we have managed to have a relatively clean audit reports across the board, which is very good. It's a sign that there is now a healthy, robust relationship with the AG and the various entities and the departments, which then they are listening to the AG, they are listening to the committee, which DM, we really much appreciate that one. AG? Well, before that,
can I recommend that you release the department and then remove the AG?
Actually, that's what I started with, that if they wish so, because I can't just chase them, that would be very impolite for me to say that. I have to say it like, Sangata Sia Vimba, which is not. AG, over to you. Thank you. Okay, it's just a walking out break, but you can start moving. Do you want to? Yes, please, just move then. Did you see the gender issue?
Yes.
You are thinking about it very hard.
No, but see, I have to rectify that. They managed to get them with the male as well. They managed to get the female.
No,
one of
your colleagues. I when we are still young, we are within the 40%. We are covered. So we are safe.
I think.
Yeah. Young people are putting safe, it's within the 40%. Like how I dealt with it. No, but I think AG, you use your mic, you are not in parliament, so that's another problem. You know that thing, speaking mic, I'm told by Bulala that you must use it. Is it compulsory? Yeah, it sounds like, yeah. But don't you want to sit next to him as a team? Yeah, it does help. Thank you. As soon as Judas is ready, then it's over to you. Thanks so much. Oh, probably while we are still waiting for that, I understand that you would have loved to meet with us through the acting chair earlier sometime yesterday. I really apologize. Thanks to SA because the flight got delayed. Yeah, I know, but I'm just appreciating their service to me personally. Okay.
way because the half that the government serves. But thank you to the members for having us, and we apologize for being late. I cannot blame the national carrier. I have to blame parking arrangements in Cape Town and driving around from one committee to another. So actually, I'm accepting responsibility.
All that.
Next time we'll try Uber. Just our mandate, the Auditor General, is to strengthen our country's democracy by enabling oversight and accountability in the public sector through auditing and thereby building public confidence. Our role in terms of the BRRRs is to reflect on the audit work that we perform, to assist the Portfolio Committee in its oversight role in assessing the performance of the entities taking into consideration the objective of the committed committee to produce the BRRRs. Then also, we need to provide the Portfolio Committee with applicable information and guidance on the portfolios, on the audit outcomes of 2015-16, to enable oversight to focus on areas of good governance. The three areas that we focus on in terms of our audits is the financial statements, to make sure that they are fairly presented and are reliable. And also we look at the, whether the performance information, the annual performance report, is credible and supported by valid, accurate and complete evidence. And then we look at the compliance of key legislation on financial performance management in our process. Typical audit opinions, this presentation is even shorter than the PSA presentation because we've only got one category to deal with here. What we look at is a clean audit opinion. It's an unqualified audit opinion with no findings on compliance with laws and regulations and no findings on predetermined objectives. So that means the auditee produced credible and reliable financial statements that are free from material misstatements. They reported in a useful and reliable manner on the predetermined objectives, and they observed and complied with key legislation in conducting their day-to-day activities. So the outcome without further ado for the DPME portfolio, the three entities there, all have achieved unqualified or clean audit outcomes, which is really commendable. And I know, as we said, we're not going to talk the PSA portfolio, but I think if we look at also the portfolio there, there's very little remaining that prevents the entities from achieving clean audit opinions. I really believe that if I start to speak about it, you'll see the heads drop of those that know what they did wrong, because they have been able to get clean audits in the past. I think it puts the portfolio in a good position to focus on the mandates that they've got. I think both of DPME and PSA have got a very huge mandate to fulfill in making government more efficient, improving on the way we do business. And it's nice to know that from an auditing perspective, they've basically got things under control. And if they're housekeeping them, this is housekeeping to do your financial work and work right, then they can focus on the mandates out there and really get out there to the people to make a difference. If we look at the compliance laws and regulations, the middle column, there's nothing to report, there's no significant issues on compliance. Also on the annual performance plans, the quality of the plans versus the quality of the reports, everything is being there. If we look at the key controls, and always with the key controls, there are areas that we highlight as yellow because there are controls in place, but they sometimes don't work effectively. It might not affect the audit report, but we do highlight these to management when we talk to them on a quarterly basis to say, focus on these, make sure that you address these so that the issue doesn't become bigger. On the assurance providers on the right-hand column, what we look at is the different level of assurance. The first one is your internal level, is basically your senior management, the accounting officer and authority and executive authority, whether they provide us with the required assurance. And what we mean in terms of that is when they produce information, the annual financial statements, annual performance report, can we rely on it? Or is there still a second level of review that is required? And we see in senior management level that still those are the implementers of the policies and procedures that entities set. So there are certain issues, and we'll highlight that now, for instance, in DPME, and I think in the state of the terms of the performance information, the performance information reported on auditors identified some issues with it, and then management adjusted it to get to the final product, which is basically the only issue in the portfolio that requires your attention. For the rest of the assurance providers, it's mostly good news. So on performance information, the usefulness side was, again, just a quick recap that we look at for the first three columns. Usefulness, we look at whether it is consistent with what we've planned. So does the annual performance plan form the basis for the annual performance report? Secondly, we look, are the indicators and the targets in these plans, are they well-defined and are they smart? So that's on the usefulness side, we didn't find any issues. On the reliability, we then go to the evidence. So this is the achievement of the target or the actual performance, if you can call it that, that the entity say, this is what we've done. Then we, as the auditors, we go and we say, please provide us with the evidence and let us then confirm whether your targets are valid, accurate, and complete. So it's basically then almost the same as what we do with the numbers, with the financial statements, where we interrogate and the evidence. And this is the area, if I look at the second slide, where we identify DPM and year stats, and say, when they gave us the annual performance report, the evidence didn't agree to what they reported on. They have subsequently corrected this, and then which led us to raise no significant findings in terms of AOPO in our performance. So to me, it's if we look at the PSA portfolio, where we get National School of Government that's supposed to train people, and they keep on persisting with procurement issues, that to me is something that shouldn't be. And also, they also had issues on the performance information, the plan and performance basis for the annual performance report. And DPME, that's the oversight over performance monitoring and evaluation in government. It's areas that shouldn't happen at your own house when you are the custodian of these things. You should shine. And I think that's always something I learned from PSC before. For us, always at PSC, is your own house should be seen in terms of the things that you are advocating for. On financial management, this is the other slide where we reflect on 3-year comparatives with unauthorized expenditure, fruitless and wasteful expenditure, and irregular expenditure. The light blue column for the bottom of each of those categories is for 2013-14, so that's 2 or 3 years back. Then we got the darker blue column, which is in the middle, which reflects 2014-15, and then 2015-16. So in most of those, a decrease, a very good decrease in terms of the irregular expenditure and the fruitless and wasteful expenditure. It must now just be eradicated in total. The unauthorized expenditure, however, was mainly due to statutes, say, with the unfunded mandate that they've got for the living cost increase survey. We'll get to that in the Word document, which they partially funded through savings. On the right-hand side, we indicate the different categories of expenditure. So if you see the unauthorized expenditure related to overspending of a main boat to fund the living condition survey, and then here for the procurement issues, that's the 600,000 that added to that is minimum dequotations and large payment for no procurement processes. As the AG, we audit the general, we also look at consequence management. So now something has gone wrong, there was possible financial misconduct or irregular expenditure, organized expenditure. Did the accounting officers institute investigations into those to determine if somebody should be held liable? And we have to report that in both the last 2 years, the investigations have been conducted by the entities into these the irregular expenditure and organized expenditure. What we include is best practices to sustain the clean audit outcomes. Is a bit different if you're sitting in another portfolio, but usually you have your own reports for not achieving clean audit opinions. So we have to be a bit creative here. It's monitoring your action plan and key controls on a regular basis. Basic financial discipline and multi-processing and consulting of transactions, and regularly preparing feasible financial and performance reports. And I think also here, what can assist these entities is by using the internal audit divisions to go and look if the performance information remains a problem in terms of the evidence that supports it. Let them go and interrogate it before it gets to the submission stage, or before it gets submitted to the Quick Committee on a quarterly basis for consideration. We can use internal audit there. But on the financial statement side, it's really, I think, not one of the entities in the portfolio, and I could either UTMNE and PSA, had material misstatements in the financial statements, which is a very, which is a nice place to be. If I can use DPSA for an example, Mr. Makura has implemented full financial statements on a quarterly basis. And he asked us in the interim, come and audit even my disclosure notes, the stuff that people don't want you normally to touch in the media, which is amicable. And through that process, they've created the procedures to account for everything correctly, accurately throughout the year, which has finally brought them also this year to the unqualified audit opinion with no findings. If we look at the commitments there, we indicate the commitments in the middle column from the minister. To say for statistics, the team was not able, sorry, that's the red one, was not able to meet with the minister during the reporting year. So they could not follow up on the commitments made by the minister in the previous year. So we'll try and engage the minister on that side to follow up on these commitments that were made. For DPME and NIDA, they sustained their audit outcomes. The only issue that still remains is the yellow one, where we say the focus on the quarterly reports for performance information to make sure that the AOPO is high throughout the year, supported by measurable evidence. This was really, I think, at this stage, the two people responsible for this, or one person, and he was on leave, and then somebody didn't. There wasn't a preparer and a reviewer, as usually was before. One line prepares, the second line reviews and interrogates the information to make sure that it's good. So that's it. Then, in the last block is our is where we're coming with our hands out to the portfolio committee, and we look at whether we can get commitments from the portfolio committee on how the portfolio committee is going to monitor the entities and the findings that were raised to ensure that they address them adequately, and that we see that we push for clean administration throughout the portfolio.
How? AJ, you can't be quiet. You must indicate that you are done.
Oh, sorry. I am. I'm done.
Okay. What have you done? Fine. No, thanks so much, AJ. Honorable members, I think it's not so gloomy. Eh? It's not dark.
Yeah.
There's no load shading, nothing.
No, actually,
I think. Let me, can I then get so that you can be in a meeting? Now I'm changing. I've taken my bite. I know. You know this interim chairperson. I will give, I'll start from my left. Yes, left until my far left again. And then to the center. Honorable Lanko.
No, thank you, chairperson.
Honorable Mwabi. No, I think it's for record purposes. No, it's just for record purposes.
Yeah, for record purposes, no, I have no question. Except to say you are compelled to start on the left, as you are wearing that dress.
I well, I don't spoil my day. How? No, red, but not overall. I'm wearing a suit, excuse me. I win. You are so corrupt. And so true.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, AG, for your report. Just two simple questions. When you say usefulness, what do you mean by that, really? What are you looking for in terms of that? And secondly, when you say you meet with them every 3 months, who do you speak to? The CFOs only, or do you also meet with the audit committee, the internal audit committee?
Give it to AG for me, please. No, from my side, I'm fine. I'll just wrap up and pay our members' contribution.
Thank you, Chair. One can just not help but wonder what my very good colleagues at the DPSA say. But I think, Chair, just to, before I get to the questions, once we have tabled our general report, I would love to come back to the committee. There are two sections where we deal with DPSA and DPME in their wider role, the government, which I think now can become the focus also for the portfolio. With DPSA, we look at the HR and the IT environment in government and what it's looking like and what their capacity is to deal with issues in that environment. And then also for DPME, there's a section that we deal with. And then we can go through the sections on HR and IT in government, which I think is really topical for this committee. To answer the questions, there were just two questions on usefulness. If I can refer to our Word document, I included a short description there to say when we evaluate the usefulness of reported information, we determine whether it was presented in accordance with National Treasury's annual reporting principles and whether the reported information was consistent with the planned programs. We further test to determine whether the indicators and targets were well-defined, whether they're verifiable, specific, measurable, and time-bound and relevant to the entity's mandate as required by the National Treasury's program. So we look at quite a lot of things in the usefulness side. When we meet, we engage on various levels. We try to meet the executive authority at least twice a year that we engage with them. With the accounting officers and accounting authorities, we also try to see them at least twice a year, but at the audit committees, which happens more than four times a year, we manage to see the accounting officers, the CFOs, and the audit committee members minimum four times, and then if they're special committees, we see them more. So we meet quite frequently with all the role players in this regard. CFOs weekly, daily, as required. I think at the end of the audit day, they're the happiest that we need.
Okay. No, thanks so much, AG. What we are, Danga, Julius, when we are dealing with honorable members, when we are dealing with the recommendations, we must capture that part in terms of also the DPSA, yes, yeah. But also what AG has raised in terms of the HR and IT one, that we need to pay more attention. But I think we must capture it in our recommendations so that in the next quarter then, when we are dealing with towards the end of the year, we are able to tick the boxes how far we have gone. Okay, it doesn't matter. Have we gone with that? I'm just summarizing what as the committee, but I firstly thank you and appreciated that one. We will, within our tight schedule, also invite your good self with the DPSA just to pick up on some areas that we felt that they didn't like sponsor them very up loud and clear. They were not hiding anything, but I'm just saying that there are other areas that has our introduction when we requested them to make their presentation is also to make to talk to the areas where there are differences from the AG and themselves, and how do they want to respond, how do they intend to respond to that one positively. And I think that's the whole thing which I'll urge that the administration assist us in terms of scheduling that meeting. Hopefully both parties will be available, which is AG and ourselves. other than that, thank you very much. We'll see you when we see you. But also don't forget that you are mostly welcome in all our committee meetings, so that also will you assist us in any other area that you wish we should pay more attention to that. Honourable members, before saying that it brings us to lunchtime as yet, okay. The first one is the Bulela that I would like just to highlight to the members that I would request, if you haven't done that, to circulate the program from the 5th of October until the 2nd of December for members to look at that, because we did have a management meeting, so we've looked at that program. But also just to highlight that program, that on Friday we will be doing getting a presentation from our parliamentary legal services in terms of proper and fit. They will take us through that for the Public Service Commission appointment processes. Yes, which is very important. I would ask that all of us, not only honourable members that sit on the interviewing panel as it may, but for the portfolio committee, those ones who are available, but we must call in so that they can take us, so that there is no ambiguity in terms of our understanding of fit and proper as it may, but also even to deal with the when we shortlist, what criteria are we going to be using. Then administration also will assist to take us through that one. So they will be doing the talking, and then we'll contribute. And then we come with the one principle understanding that we're going to use on towards the Public Service Commissioner's appointments as it may. The other one that we will also, in terms of the program that I would like to highlight, is that we have requested administration that mid-November, around the 19th or so, in our meeting, we must look at the minutes that the interim acting chair has presiding over, but also for the next time also, before we rise for December, we must also conclude all the minutes that are outstanding, because the challenge is that, legally speaking, we can't hold the department accountable, because those minutes must also go via the House, so that also it ties them, so that the Speaker also, if they're not following through our recommendations, she's able also to write to them, even to the leader of the government business as it may, if it needs to be. I hope not, it's not going to reach that stage. The other one which I would like to highlight, that towards the last week of November, we will be conducting an oversight. But we have requested administration, which also you must also, I'm just requesting that Julius Sisulelo, that the oversight must have the intended outcome. It must be informed by something, and what do we then want to achieve with those oversights. But also, so that also we go open-ended invite to SSA in terms of their new building, and what else? Yes. So they will be giving that, and I'll request that as soon as we do that through the administration, members also can react and say these are the other areas in these provinces. The principle is that we don't repeat provinces, but we will then be doing that in the last week of November and first week of last week of November? Yes, yes. Yeah. With that, members, we will get, and then we will see each other tomorrow. And thanks very much for your patience in attending. Please do attend the tomorrow's one if you are available. We understand, but we... No, that's what I wanted to say, to appreciate his attendance. We really appreciate that one. But when we start the Public Service Commission, which will also convey to other members, that the interviewing panel, as it may, they must make sure that when they start until finish, there will be no freelancing, because it then makes the whole process very clumsy. Also, Spulela wants to remind us, and we will send a text message as usual, which we really appreciate, that tomorrow we'll be meeting at M514 at Max Building. At that same time, same warm bodies. Thanks so very much, honourable members and the AG and our colleagues. If I say our colleagues, I mean the administration as a collective. Thanks so much. See you tomorrow. Have a good end of the day. Thanks.
Thank you.